There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number hadn't changed in 16 years, and it's the same this hour as well. 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on the text line or the phone line. And in addition, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app to leave us one of those talk back messages, and we can play it back here on the air. All right, bring it on, my buddy. And it's good. You know, I've talked about like real journalists. You know, they're not everywhere. They're as rare as hen's teeth, I would say. And you take what my buddy here does and like stories we talk about on the air, and we know some of the details. It's great to have somebody who digs in and gets all the details. Plus, he's a pretty good pickleball player. My buddy John Sharp joining us now. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
I'm good. By the way, how are you doing in college pick'em? How'd you fare last weekend?
A great way to start off this interview. The first week was atrocious. Actually, last week was a little bit of a bounce back. I was able to go 500. I felt good about it. Not off to a good start, no.
Okay, I'm number 72, I think, if you check the stats. Top 100.
Okay, well, congratulations. I'll give you a cup of coffee at the end of the day.
And a gold star, man. That's all I need. I want to talk about the two stories, and two of the stories y'all can see over at AL.com from John are important because you did the deeper dive into subjects that come up on the station. Number one, we started getting people texting in and calling in about what's going on. Is that the bridge? They're working on the causeway. They're doing construction. There's cranes down there. And I was ignorant to it at that point and looked a little bit more into it. But you dove into, yeah, there's a construction project going on, but it's not the same bridge.
That's correct. Let's call this one of our greatest hits, Sean.
How long have we been talking about this?
Years.
Yes, many.
Years and years. We were able to scratch off for the time being, at least for the foreseeable time being, the Amtrak project.
Yes, that
but
is
one of the one that's right. The one that's atop the list, though, is I-10 and the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project. The one that will never, I hate to use the word never, but seemingly never, will go away. But yes, you are correct. There is activity going on right now on the causeway. If you really don't pay attention, like most people, to what's going on, you're thinking, wait a minute, are they starting to build a bridge?
Yep.
Well, yeah, they're building a bridge, but not that bridge. they're actually building a $78.8 million bridge, which is a lot of money. But it's a replacement bridge on the causeway, and it's a project that's been underway technically since January. It's supposed to be a two-year project that could be going on at the same time that the I-10 project starts. Our understanding of those groundbreaking should happen on the I-10 project. We talked about this before, so you always are hesitant to put a date out there, and I think ALDOT is as well, but they're talking about the first part of next year. But yeah, I got into that a little bit in the story. I did go to the Mobile Metropolitan Planning Organization meeting last week, in which there was a brief update provided on the I-10 project, the $3.5 billion monster that would be, at that price point, the most expensive infrastructure project ever engaged in the state of Alabama. So that's the major one. There was a brief update on that. Design work is ongoing. However, no groundbreaking date set. That's the thing that I think most folks in the media and public officials as well in this area are really honing in on. When does the actual construction begin on that? of course, there's some big issues that need to be resolved before then, and the number one thing is financing, as we've talked about for years, but that's still out there. The pieces are being put together on it, but the timeline on when those pieces will all fit into place for the puzzle to be completed so we can put the first shovels in the ground is yet to be known. But you are correct. There is some activity going on. It's just not the bridge that we're all anticipating.
You know, and John and I have been talking about this long enough that I remember when this was a $800 million project. That's how long we've been, you know, and then, okay, well, it went to a billion. Well, and now it's $3.5 billion. But that's a, I mean, that's a pretty, and people say, well, inflation. Y'all, that's outpacing inflation. That is a...
Well, let's also be hesitant. That $3.5 billion could change, too, because we don't know what the guaranteed maximum price is yet on this project. That has not been set in stone. So, I mean, and I think, you know, because there's design work going on right now. Interestingly, though, the design work on the bridge is 80, the future bridge in downtown Mobile that will redefine the skyline of this city. I think that's one thing that's kind of lost in all this conversation. It will be an iconic a structure for Mobile for generations to come, but we're at 80%. They're at 80% complete of that design of that bridge. That's pretty far along. So that is a little bit of a step in the right direction. Now on the Bayway side of things, it's under 50% completed on the design. So right away, I asked the question: Are we looking at building the bridge first, come back do the Bayway second? That's always been out there as far as a question. But ALDOT has come back and said no. They still stand by what they've said for years, that the Bayway and the bridge will be all done simultaneously. So it'll be one complete project. That's where we're at right now on it. But, yes, the design work on the actual bridge itself is ahead of the design work on the Bayway.
Now, back to the first bridge that people said, hey, are they working on the big project? It's important. I mean, I don't know when this plan was put into action. For the Tensaw River Bridge. And I see the renderings. Y'all can see those in John's story over at AL.com. But it's got to be, you know, in conversations that during the building of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project, they're going to be putting all this traffic onto the causeway, right? And that was one of the worries for Spanish Fort, you know, with going in there. Maybe this does have to happen. Maybe they have to do a series of things at the causeway, because we're all going to be driving the causeway for a while whenever they get to that point. I may be dead, but you know.
Yeah, right. And you're correct. I think a lot of people that live locally, especially in Baldwin County, that do that commute into Mobile every day, like myself, we're mindful of taking the causeway first. You just don't know what you're going to get on the Bayway half the time. And that's not a knock on the Bayway, but it especially in the summer months, it's something that, we all know that's something to avoid. So the causeway is our preferred route. And, this is an improvement to the causeway, and Mayor McMillan in Spanish Fort has voiced his concerns over the years. We'll have a new mayor in Spanish Fort who I'm sure will have a thing or two to say about this project as well and how it'll affect that community, because the causeway directly links into Spanish Fort and into Daphne as well, but primarily Spanish Fort. So that is an issue for that community, especially during the construction. And then my understanding, though, is the existing Bayway is still targeted to be demolished, but that would not occur until we're substantially complete with the I-10, the new I-10 Bayway. Everything is still on the same, same timeline, or everything's still on the same plan as what we've talked about for years. So that's kind of where we're at.
I want to go to the next in-depth dive. I want y'all to check these stories out. This one here, we've talked about so many times to the station, and everybody's got a plan and a theory from Ubers to trolleys to jetpacks to skateboards and everything. But we're talking about public transit in Mobile. And the question here is, new vendor comes in here, or operator, I don't know what the right term is for VIA, operator, what this could mean. And you talk about the money here. You said Mobile Public Transit System faces 5-year, $60 million overhaul. What to know? What are we to know? I mean, is that paying for people, buses? Yeah. What's it paying for?
Yeah, we don't really totally know yet, because VIA would come in here essentially. That's the company that they're looking at, VIA Transit. Mobile City Council to make a decision most likely next week because we're running out of time. The current contract for public transportation in Mobile runs out on September 30th. So theoretically, if there's no new contract in place or there's not an extension with the current operators of WAVE, we could be looking at no buses in this community. And that's a problem I think the city wants to avoid at all costs. Even though ridership seems to be low with WAVE, there is still a demand for it. But yeah, there is a concerted effort right now to move forward to a contract with Via Transit. They're out of New York. They do a lot of modern high-tech type of rideshare programs. They want to come into Mobile and take a look at the city and what it's offering with regards to public transit for 9 months. That would be the first 9 months of this contract. And then come back with basically an overhaul of what we could be seeing here. You'd be talking about an app using your cell phone, an app-based program, utilizing smaller buses. Of course, the fixed routes would be changed somewhat. I mean, it would be a wholesale change to what currently is offered that has been criticized for the last several years as being pretty much inefficient because you got these large buses going through Mobile with low ridership. So that's kind of where we're at right now. The cost would actually be $12.1 million per year. That's kind of on par with what Mobile is paying right now for this service, for the WAVE transit service. So it'd be very similar. It would actually amount to about $8 million per year paid out by the city. There's federal grants and other federal resources that would account to about $4.1 million per year. So that helps offset the city's obligation on that project or on that contract. But, yeah, that's something that could be coming down next week. Interestingly, there's been some conversations, too, about whether or not the city should slow down on such a major contract, given the fact that we got a mayor's runoff mm-hmm. on September 23rd. Whoever wins that election may want to have some say-so in what public transit looks like in the future because, I know Spiro Chiriogatis has indicated his interest of adding, including trolleys into the downtown area. And talking to Councilman Josh Woods, he says there's flexibility within the contract for whoever is elected mayor to come back in and negotiate with Via as far as what their vision might be as well. So it sounds like a good deal for Mobile. At least they're looking at it that way. They feel good about what Via has done in other communities. They handle Sioux Falls, South Dakota, their entire transit operations there.
I thought that was interesting.
Well.
What happened in Sioux Falls, because I say this all the time when the legislature's in session and they come up with some new cockamamie plan, I go, why didn't you just copy what the, look to some other state that did it successfully and copy their paper? This case, they've shown me here that they have been successful doing this elsewhere. So it's not like Mobile, we're going to try something new. They have done this and have had success.
That's correct. I do think there's a little bit of trepidation about the tech nature of this system. Mobilians that utilize the service may not be the most tech savvy. So the concern is, well, how would they pay for their ride if they don't have, direct access to a iPhone and download the right app and that sort of thing. And I think the comment was that, Via is very flexible and there would be a cash payment option as well. So I think that helped alleviate some concerns with that as well. The biggest issue was the length of the contract. It is a 5-year contract initially, but the city council wants I think the argument was that they wanted a 3-year contract up front and then to come back to the Mobile City Council and negotiate the next 2 years. So that's kind of an issue that was actually negotiated in public during the council's pre-conference session, in which Via agreed verbally right then and there that, we're fine with that. So that was kind of a interesting little thing to watch on Tuesday. But it sounds like all the details will be ironed out, and I think the council is prepared to vote on it next Tuesday.
And, going forward, hopefully, you said it's the first part of this contract is them getting the data, right? They're going to get the data. And instead of just me saying, I see buses that are empty, they're going to actually know where the people are going, how many people are going those places, right? At some point, they'll come back and they'll have that data.
Yeah, and that's correct. And I think that's Via's argument was, they wanted that 5-year contract without having to negotiate after the first 3 years, claiming that, we got this first 9 months. We got to come in and find out what we're dealing with. You know, what buses, what routes are staying, which ones are going, what can we do differently here? You know, paratransit services for those that need it, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, they gotta take a look at the entire operation, and then but they've also have apparently verbally said that they're dedicated to keeping and maintaining the existing staff. So that's somewhat helped calm any concerns with the union. Although I think a representative of the union expressed some concerns at the council meeting, nonetheless, but did indicate that there wasn't going to be a giant layoff when they come in or anything along those lines. So I think that was an issue as well that the council felt good about. So, it sounds like from my understanding is I think the city council is ready to move forward with this contract, and we look to see him voting on that on Tuesday.
All right, John, people, of course, go AL.com, see your stories there, but if they want to reach out to you, maybe even to talk about your picks for the upcoming college football weekend, how do they find you online?
If you want to get them wrong this weekend, yes, go to JohnSharp99. I'll do my best to not steer you in the wrong direction, but yeah, I'm on X and Blue Sky and Friends. So.
Good stuff, John. As always, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Sean, thanks.
All right, there goes John Sharp, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile, minutes away. The devil touch buses on the street. You better get off the cut. Move your feet. Bus, van, trans, pass. That's the way my money lasts. Ain't got no car. Get around when I go to work. I gotta go downtown. Now I miss my trip. That's a common shame. When I'm running late, no streets to blame. If you got a wife, you know I'm right. You got a special man. Well, I can understand.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right to 126 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. How about that? Just the Tensaw River Bridge is going to be $78.8 million, but yeah, it has nothing to do with the Bayway project. And I have been talking about the project long enough. Remember back when we were talking about like where the shadow would be cast on downtown Mobile from the bridge, the high rise, right? I mean, that early on that discussion, and then it was an $800 million project. Okay, it might be. Might be $1 billion, 3.5, and we're not done yet. Ouch. A couple texts here, and thank you. Rita had sent this, and Rita said, thanks for going out and speaking to the public about the dangers of drugs. Maybe it'll get through to someone. Heaven knows the kids think their parents don't know anything. Yeah, and that's the, that's the kind of, and I was there just to MC and have this panel, people that know all about it, from the judicial side, law enforcement side, school resource folks here for mental health, nurses and all that, kind of telling at that event last night, parents could find out what they should watch for, those kind of, it's very useful forums. I was just, I'm going to just say shame on you for not being there. And real world techniques to try to keep the kids safe. This whole thing where you go, well, I tell them not to do any drugs or do, like, it wasn't drugs, but I mean, back when I was a kid, they told us not to drink beer before we were 21. Right, you got to get through another way instead of just saying, I told you. I mean, because one time they could do this and be dead, taking something they think is something else. And it just scares the ever-living hell out of me. It does, as a father. And just as a citizen, but as a father. Ben, he said, with Mobile and Spanish Fort getting new mayors, the state getting a new governor, and the good Lord willing, ALDOT getting new leadership, so we anticipate any changes in all this bridge bayway planning. I didn't think about that, Ben. Maybe. And then when we go back to the drawing board, I think, I don't think I'm out on a limb here, that Tommy Tuberville, coach, becomes the next governor of the state of Alabama, I think you will see some pretty big changes in Montgomery. I don't have anybody whispering in my ear. I just think he is not of that Goat Hill world, right? He's coming in from the outside on that, and there may be some bigger changes going on there. And you point out, yes, Spanish Fort, both sides, Spanish Fort's got a new mayor, Mobile have a new mayor. And what will that mean? I don't think it'll mean a drastic cut in cost. I tell you that right now. All right, head to the news. Coming right back. More with y'all at 343-0106. Speaking of Tuberville, he said he's carrying a golf club when he walks in Washington because of crime. Hopefully, if President Trump's move in D.C. is successful, he could just leave the pitching wedge at home and just walk. We'll get that story and more coming up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Y'all say hello to Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. She and I were just talking about jewelry because I've told you before, once you find something that lady likes and Anna remembers what you bought last time you come back in, she always has suggestions. So once you're on a track, guys, jewelry-wise, Anna is like, you're great. So thank you, Anna. Just personally for me, thank you.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. And you're making it sound like I can put you on a list, you know.
Well, you do. You say, did she like the last thing you got? And you're like, yes, she liked this one or didn't like this one, you know. And then you go, okay. It's like an algorithm. And then you're like, okay, this equals this. And then you get the next thing that matches that. And then they're like, oh, you got me something that was in the same. Aren't you sweet? Mm-hmm, I am.
Yes, and it makes you look good. That's the main point. It makes you look good, right?
Yeah, that is the only point. And also, let's talk precious metals for a second. I mean, it has been a story of stories with gold out there. I want to talk about gold and then silver.
Oh, yeah. And right now, I actually had a lot of younger people getting into gold and silver, coming in to buy, asking questions, wanting to basically invest or hedge. In other words, they're taking their, I call them candy wrappers, but paper money that's not backed up by anything. You know, if anything happens with the dollar, because the reason why gold, one of the reasons gold and silver are going up is because the dollar's getting weaker.
Yeah, and gold is getting stronger. And that ratio, too, that y'all have talked about between gold and silver, there's this, over time, there's a ratio. That is straightening up some more, right? That's kind of, gold is pulling silver up with it.
Oh, yeah. And I've heard predictions, you know, this is rumors, but in the next 5 years, silver might hit like $75 an ounce and gold might be at $5. So we don't know, but that's, you know, that's some just rumors that I've heard.
Also, if you're looking at, you've got some, you've talked about like errant jewelry, I don't know, like an earring you don't have a match for, you got some gold laying around. Y'all are buying as well. People hear these prices for them buying, but y'all are buying as well, and people are going to get top dollar here.
Oh, yeah, we're buying scrap jewelry, so even if it's mangled up, just bring it in. If it got ran over, stepped on, bring it in, and sometimes we may be able to repair it. And also, if it's something really nice, we can offer a whole lot more than scrap value for stuff like that.
Okay, tell folks how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can also find us on Facebook and on our website, mobilebaycoins.com.
Hey, thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Hey, before we get right back in the text and all that, I wonder, this story, WKRG has it, but it was put out here that tomorrow, MPD, so Mobile Police Department, and other first responders are going to be doing the Memorial Stair Climb Challenge, of course, tomorrow, 9/11. Right. And so the commemoration of the anniversary, MPD and other first responders, we doing this Memorial Stair Climb Challenge. Recruits, command staff members, firefighters and officers will be climbing over 2000 steps to symbolize the 110 stories of the World Trade Center towers. The event takes place at Hancock Whitney Stadium. It's going to be tomorrow morning starting at 6:00. Gates of the stadium open up at 5:45. Public is welcome to join and participate. And we'll talk about that tragic day tomorrow on the show. Also, I mentioned on the show tomorrow, Andy Ellsworth, if you've been following a lot of the Big Creek Lake controversy going on, we'll call him the kayak guy, just to make it easy for people to think about who I'm talking about. He's going to join me on the show tomorrow in the noon hour, so be ready for that. I need to do this, too. I'd be remiss. B-Dark said, you said text, but you don't read any of my text. Well, B-Dark, I think I do. ones from earlier in the week. You're talking about the water quality. I think I read those. And then you did text me today. I missed this one. What happened to the dog? I guess talking about Erica's dog, and I told you on the text line, he goes to dog school. So, B-Dog, I do read your text. I get hundreds in a show, so, but I'm working on it. And I don't read every text. Sometimes people aren't asking the question. They're just saying something. Let's see. This unnamed texter, which unnamed texter, be like B-Dog. Give yourself a handle here. Nickname, first name, something like that. Said, Coach will definitely come on the show, unlike Grandma. Yeah, oh yeah, I don't think that'll be I mean, I've had Senator Tupperville on the show a couple times. Jeff gets him on a lot. Yeah, it's been, I mean, and you, so now you know it's not just me, right? They couldn't get Governor Ivey on. You listen to Jeff talk about it and all that. It's been, it's just it's a brick wall. It's, we've tried. And I've said, listen, I'm not even getting you on to holler at you or whatever. I've got some questions I would like to hear the governor answer. And I've been trying to do this all these years. Nothing. I had Bentley used to come on, right? But even during those days, Bentley came on, but I have not had Governor Ivey on. Even when we had like a hurricane down there here or some bigger story, just not. No, I don't think we'll have a problem getting, if he's elected, which it looks like, unless something crazy happens, looks like he will be elected. We'll probably have a lot more. You'll hear a lot more from the governor on the station. All right. The thing I mentioned about AL.com story said Tommy Tupperville says he carries a golf club when he walks in Washington because of crime. I don't know if he is this before or after the cleanup here. Mike Kaysen writes, U.S. Senator Tommy Tupperville reiterated his support for President Donald Trump's decision to deploy National Guard troops in Washington, D.C., a move the president said was necessary to make the city safer. In an interview with the Fox Business Network program, Maria Bartiromo's Wall Street, Tupperville was asked about the lawsuit filed by D.C. officials against the president over the deployment. Tupperville said, if I didn't know better, I'd think they'd want to turn us into a third world country, end quote. Tupperville did mention that on his first day in Washington, D.C., his first day in Washington, D.C. was January 6, 2021, when Trump supporters stormed the Capitol trying to stop the Senate from certifying Joe Biden's win over Trump in the 2020 election. Tupperville said, we had a lot of National Guard people come in at that time, but we had homeless everywhere, and it really hadn't gotten much better. For some reason, the people that are in leadership in Washington, D.C. don't take pride in our city. I don't know whether they're funneling money off or doing something else with it. Law enforcement, they try, but they're not backed up by the justice system. And he went on to say later, he said, I jog or walk every day, and I carry a golf club with me. Because, you know, there'd be some limitations for, I guess, although tell the senator he can get, I don't know what he has, but elected officials can get some waivers on their concealed carry up there. And they make those. I know the joggers have systems they can carry their handgun with them, but he carries a golf club. He did not say what golf club. I think Jeff thought it was a 9-iron, or maybe Dalton thought it was a 9-iron. I think it's a pitching wedge. I mean, what would you carry? Although a good, like the good old brass putters, that'd be pretty good too. But yeah, he says he carries it with him when he goes through D.C. He went on to say in the interview, no, that's it. Okay, he said, yeah, be careful, look over your shoulder, be around other people, don't be by yourself, and you shouldn't have to do that. Okay, so that's the story of him and the golf club that got some attention out there. Let's see, okay, well, let me get more on this. Charles says, Kay isn't a high stepper. The turkeys are the high stepper. Charles? Let's see. B-Dark says, Sean, do you think the parents should take some blame? That child should have been home in bed or studying, not ringing doorbells. Oh, you're talking about the ding-dong ditch story? No, not really. Do I think the children, if that guy, you're talking about the story out of Houston, is what B-Dark's talking about. It's a couple weeks old, maybe more than that. Kid plays ding-dong ditch, runs, and the guy leaves his house with his gun, goes through his yard out to the street and shoots the kid. And I've said, let's make it not even a kid. Let's make it an adult. You still don't get to do that. So do you think the parents should take some blame? If the guy would have snatched the kid up by his shirt and drug him up to mom and dad's house and said, look at what little Timmy is doing, then I'm fine with that. You don't get to shoot somebody. So do I believe the parents have blame in their kid who is ringing a doorbell being murdered? No, I mean, no, I don't. I don't. Unless they were like, hey, little Timmy, go out there and ring those doorbells. I mean, I just don't. I hear that too often. Like, people say, well, if I saw somebody down the street, I mean, it came up one time, somebody told me, like, well, if I saw somebody stealing a boat engine down the street, you know, at my neighbor's house, I would shoot him. I'd say, well, and you would be a murderer. It's not how this works. And I said, I'm the guy, right, that wants you to have that gun concealed to be able to defend your life or the life of an innocent. But you don't get to go walking down the street and shooting somebody. No, you don't. Let's see. The difference is Bentley was a class act. Well, he's still, you know, he and Rebecca are still together in Tuscaloosa doing, I think, dermatology. Okay, see, Curtis had to, he said Tommy carries a six iron to match the six wins in a row over Bama. Thank you, Curtis. I'll even read those texts. And I'm not going to talk much about, we had a good weekend for Bama, but it's, you know, to be determined how we continue with that. There is funny, like the Bama Nation, and you'll hear it here in just about 15 minutes with Feinbaum, went from complete panic to only semi-panic and saying, well, what about, can we get an SEC championship? Turned it around pretty fast. All right, news is next. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Check in with my buddy David McCreary with LCM Motor Cars and talk some inventory, talk some financing, and talk some... The tradition y'all have set up, and I've talked about this before, and it's, if people start looking, you pull up at a stoplight, and it's like LCM, LCM, LCM. That's a car, that's SUV, that's a truck. There are so many LCM vehicles out there. You're doing something right.
Well, I hope so. We're trying, and, you know, we try to make every customer as happy as possible. I mean, you can't make everybody happy, including me, but we try to do what's right, you know. I mean, we don't build the cars. I mean, there's stuff that has issues on occasion, but we stand behind what we sell and try to make sure everything's got a warranty on it when it gets out of there, and take care of the customer. That's the most important thing, because I don't want to just sell somebody one car. I want to sell their son or daughter a car or their neighbor a car, and I want them to come back and buy the next car, you know. So repeat business is a huge part of our business.
Oh, y'all do a good job at it. You're describing my family.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, we got a really good inventory right now. I think we got we've had a real busy last 2 days, but we've still got, I think, over 70 cars on the ground because we bought a few more and got some more stuff on the way. I had a lady come in yesterday, local business owner, been in business for 30-something years, and bought a shorted Jeep. So we found her a Jeep up in just a little northeast of Georgia, and I got two drivers going up there to get it, and it'll be back this afternoon. It's a 2024 Jeep Wrangler Willys package with 16,000 miles, and she's extremely happy. Found the color she wanted, the equipment she wanted, hard top, everything. So it's, you know, that's what we're there to do, and that's what we enjoy doing, and hopefully it shines through.
Y'all are looking for a vehicle, look at the lot, and if not, like David just said, he can go find it for you. Tell him how to find you, first of all, online and in person.
Yeah, number one, if you go to the website and you're looking for something, you don't see what you want and you don't call us, you're making a mistake, because we could have it on the way. And if we don't have it on the way, we can go get it just like we did this Jeep for this lady. We are at Highway 90 in Plantation. It's in Theodore. We are 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can call us directly at 251-375-0068 or go to the website. It's lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. David checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Check a couple texts here, and then I want to last story, you know, when this story, I had it on my docket to do yesterday, kind of ran out of time, had a lot of stuff going on. But once again, another big UAP hearing meeting in Washington, and like this doesn't, I mean, not that it doesn't make news. I hear people go, it never makes the news. It makes news, but it just, I don't know. I thought it would be Thought it'd be catchier than that. But first, to the text line at 343-0106. Greg, well, think about in the 80s and 90s playing spotlight tag at night with a flashlight and hiding in people's bushes to try to make it to your front door before you got tagged. I guess in this time, people just shoot you if they heard you outside their door and you're a kid. Yeah, it's in that story in Houston, there wasn't even a mistake. Like, mistaken, the dude walks down the street and goes, I didn't see anything. I read three different news accounts of it. I saw nothing where I thought this guy had a legitimate shoot. Nothing. Jim in Georgetown said, if my parents got blamed for all the mischief that I got into as a kid, they'd have been thrown under the jail. Of course, statute of limitations applies here. Correct. There's, you know, like what B-Dark was saying, like when you have parents that know the kids aren't going to school or know the kids have a weapon they're taking, B-Dark, I agree with you there. There's responsibility on the parents. But, you know, great parents, and we were goofballs. We did all kind of stuff we shouldn't have been doing. My parents didn't allow it. It's not like they said, hey, yeah, go out there and do that. No, but we did. So, but I mean, honest to goodness, and the things, I think it would be almost like a Norman Rockwell thing to me if I heard somebody said, I got your boy here. He's really been screwing up. I'm like, oh, gosh, what? They rang doorbells and ran off. I mean, I would give them a little lecture, but I would be, I don't know, I would be kind of warm and fuzzy over it. With all the things kids could be doing today, what do you mean? They didn't damage anything. They just rang a doorbell and ran off. That's my boy. All right. Well, I was going to go to the UAP story, but there is breaking news right now as this just coming in. Saw it on our monitors here. Charlie Kirk shot at Utah Valley University. So conservative commentator Charlie Kirk. This is just coming out now. Charlie Kirk shot at Utah Valley University. I don't know if we get anything more on that. Lana, you can let me know. I don't just seeing that headline. I don't know. Shot, I don't know, condition, nothing there, but that's just coming in. Charlie Kirk shot at Utah Valley University. So we'll probably be more news on that coming up at the news at the top of the hour. So if something breaks here in the next few minutes, we'll let you know. The UAP story, we can talk about it in depth down the road, but it's just another UAP hearing, what a lot of us old people call UFO hearing, right? And by the way, did you see the video where a Hellfire missile, a U.S. drone, I think a Reaper drone, fired a Hellfire missile. And there's one of these orbs that have been described, the tic-tac things that have been seen and not, they've been seen, but they can't tell it what it is. You've heard like they shoot this thing, the drone shoots this thing, which I don't know. I mean, if it's aliens, we're going to be in trouble. They're like, hey, you shot our orb here. Now we're going to put the neutron on you. But a Hellfire missile hits this orb. It's off Yemen. They thought maybe it was the Houthis or whatever. It's off Yemen, hits this orb, and basically the Hellfire missile just kind of bounces off of it, spins the thing around, and doesn't bring it down. I don't know if you haven't seen that video, go look for it. Here it is. It said the footage showed a MQ-9 drone tracking a UAP orb as another MQ-9 launched a Hellfire missile at it. The missile struck the orb, but instead of destroying it, the round appeared to bounce right off. Wow. I mean, if y'all go watch this, you can see what they're talking about. So this is part of the hearings they had yesterday, and this is the chair of this is Representative Ana Paulina Luna out of Florida. Just a moment for Ana Paulina. And good. She's very good at her job. And really, I've listened to her doing some long form. She's really been interested. She served in the military, but been interested in UAPs, UFOs, whatever we're allowed to call them today, for a long time. And so she has this whole panel and people testifying what they've seen, what's out there, the tic tacs, these UAPs that can move at speeds that we have no technology that we know of. To move and not that it does not make news, but we don't have the president addressing the nation or something like that. And once again, it's just it's strange. This texter said, my one question is, why didn't the Hellfire missile explode on impact? Thanks, y'all. I don't know. I saw that, too. And did it, here's an unnamed texter. My only question was, when I saw it, did it happen so fast that the explosion, the detonation on the Hellfire is just out of that screen? You know how it's like a smaller screen you're watching there? Did we not see what happened as fast as it's traveling? And I guess this orb's traveling fast, too. And the orb's going, for lack of, I don't know the direction. Say the orb's going left and the missile's going right. Did it detonate, but it did it right outside of, I don't know. I don't know, but I think it's worth looking at. Left me scratching my head. All right, Paul Feinbaum takes over next. We'll do it again tomorrow for the Thursday edition of Midday Mobile. You got questions about the Big Creek Lake controversy. Andy Ellsworth is going to join us. He's one of the people that's been out there on the kayak. And he's been more than written a warning. We'll talk to him about that and a whole lot more tomorrow at noon.